The Leon countdown is just completed here.
I didn't know he knew how to count to 10.
I didn't know. Well,
that was unbelievable.
Yeah, Trey behind him. Like,
Trey
was helping him out. Yeah, he was counting down behind him. I was looking at Trey. I wasn't paying attention to Leon because Leon ain't gonna get it right.
Anything change on this Monday?
Nothing's changed.
No, I know.
Nothing's changing this Monday for the last month.
A lot of reasons.
Another shitty week, and that's all I know is we got. After another loss up there, oh, my God. Kim Bocamber, John Congemi with you as Monday edition of the Audible. And I keep waiting for one of these shows where we can do a little Victory Monday. Good time, laugh a little bit, have some fun. And, woo, man, another bad week. And, John, I've talked to a lot of people. I'm sure you've talked to a lot of people after the game yesterday, during the day. And you know what? I feel like most people out there, I feel like most of the Dolphin fans out there, and I know some people, there's people out there, they're going to send in their comments and get rid of everybody,
right.
You know, start from scratch, throw everyone overboard, fire this guy, fire that guy. You know, you can't do all that. And I don't think I don't think that's where this organization, this team is right now. But I can tell you this, I'm depressed, I'm disgusted, I'm mad, I'm hurt, I'm embarrassed, I'm jealous of the other teams that are, you know, they're playing well and going to the playoffs.
Absolutely are.
All those things, all those emotions are going through. And I got to tell you, this has been 5 weeks, John, of coming back in. And aren't the weeks you're working here all every day?
Yeah,
aren't the weeks easier when you come in after a win? Everything's a little, everyone's a little more chippy.
Trey and I are trying to write the scripts over the last 5 weeks for Dolphins Daily on a Monday, and it's been getting rough.
Yeah,
you know, it just gets tough because you want to be able to talk about a win.
Good
you
stuff,
see
yeah.
other teams, you know, with explosive plays. See other teams with interceptions, a punt block, something, you know, that would spur on a victory. And the Miami Dolphins right now are in a spot where it's been 5 weeks in a row that you go and you hang an L up and you're trying to correct from the week before. But even the weeks prior to the five losses, it hasn't been consistency that has been the theme. You know, that word consistency hasn't been one that you would say attached to the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
You would say inconsistency in terms of being able to put together four quarters, in terms of starting fast, and playing with a lead, doing all the things that winning teams do. It just seems like it's been difficult for the Miami Dolphins to get on track, to put all three facets together for one Sunday afternoon and come away handily with a victory.
Yep.
They're fighting and they're clawing just to stay afloat and just to stay close in games, whereas last year you felt you had the confidence that you were going to find a way to win. This team this year hasn't found a way to get even and then take the lead.
Well, you used the Tampa Bay Buck game for an example. That was a game last year where instead of the Bucks driving down the field and kicking the field goals, the Dolphins make a stop, maybe pick a ball off or something like they did against the Jets, go down the field, kick the field goal, jumping up and down time, you win a football game, but they don't make the play. It's Tampa that goes down, kicks the field goal, they win the game. And those were the games that the Dolphins were winning
last year
when they were on that six-game streak, when they're able to win 10 games. And the thing about it, John, is I'm confused. I am just at a loss because everyone's like, hey, what's going on, man? What's wrong with them? I said, you know what? I got no idea. I know there's a lot wrong.
Yeah.
I know 1 week from the next, what was wrong 1 week is not the same as what was wrong the next week.
Yeah.
You know, last week we talked about 17 penalties, 130 yards. Well, they had some penalties that hurt them this week, but not nearly what they had last week. They had five turnovers last week. They had three turnovers this week. That's two better.
Right.
But still, you're in a worse situation than you were. So it's, you know, and I don't know about you, maybe you can put your finger on it, but I don't know that I think the coaching staff – it's easy to watch the films and know why this play didn't work, why that play didn't work, why this one didn't work, why this one worked, why that one worked, why this one didn't, why that one. But to try to, you know, I know it's an old proverb, but it's like the kid trying to stick his fingers in the dike. You plug one hole, another one pops open. Eventually, you run out of fingers. And I kind of feel each and every week that's where this coaching staff is. Their fingers are all in the holes, and the water's still spraying them in the face.
You look around the league, Bo, and the easiest way that I've been able to talk to myself, because I've been doing that a lot lately.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're a Miami Dolphin fan and you're wanting this team to win, you're trying to talk to yourself, how can you fix it? What would you do?
Yeah.
I think when I look around the NFL and I see the superstars of each team, the guys that get paid the money, they're performing at a different level. The superstars on every team, and it usually starts at quarterback, and then it goes to a wideout, and then it goes to a corner, and then it might go to a linebacker or a defensive end. Your premier players, or their premier players, are playing at a level that dictates wins and losses. And then you have all the other worker guys that are playing at a consistent level.
Yeah.
I don't think that the stars on this team, if you said to me, hey, John, name your 10 or 8 or your 5 superstars on your team and how are they playing right now, you'd have a hard time to say that they're playing at a level that teams that are winning 8, 7, and 6 games are playing at. So I just don't think our best players – now, you could take Ndamukong Suh, and he can take on that double team all day. But at $17 million, he's not changing the scoreboard for the Miami Dolphins. He's not at a position to do that. But
I think that's the argument a lot of people have when they talk about Ndamukong. You're paying that much money to a guy in that position who doesn't make those impact plays.
But I'm not saying he's not doing his job.
No.
I think
Ndamukong Suh is as dominant a defensive tackle as there is in the National Football League. And he's playing this way. But unlike a defensive end that gets 17 and a half, that gets 15
that
sacks, 17
picks.
Sacks. Yeah, you know, it doesn't show up because a lot of plays that he makes something happen.
For someone else makes the play. Right.
I just look at
the quarterback. You take a look last night at Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Okay. He made a difference when he found Brown.
Yeah.
You know, he makes a difference when he sets up a game-winning field goal opportunity. Yeah. When you take a look at the way Carson Wentz, and he, quite frankly, he's the leader of the Philadelphia Eagles right now, could be the MVP of the league. He makes a difference every time the Eagles go out and play a football game. I can't say right now that I can't name 3 players on the team, on the Miami Dolphins, that make a difference each and every week to go out and determine wins or losses.
Yeah, they'll make a difference on a play here or there or do this and that.
You know, Rashad Jones made that play. Yeah. He makes a scoop and score.
Yeah.
He's probably been our most consistent player in terms of making dynamic plays or explosive plays that change the scoreboard. I can't say that for Devontae Parker. I can't say that for Jarvis Landry. Yeah. For as many catches and as many yards as he's gotten, when you need players to change the dynamic of a game, change the dynamic of the score, right now, consistently, we don't have enough players doing that.
And kind of the point I want to make, look, we're as frustrated as you guys out there. I mean, frustrated is the tip of the iceberg as far as I'm concerned. I know, you know, coming back on the bus from the stadium, getting on the plane, and, you know, I'm sitting there with, I got Greasy here, I got Joe Rose here, myself, and other guys, and you're kind of, and it's just like, it's dead silent because people can't figure, it's just hard to put a finger on why this team is playing this way because because I think the players on this roster are a better football team than what we're seeing out there. But again, it's the same thing every week. It's different things this week than it was last week. It's not if it was consistently one or two guys doing something,
you could make a mass exodus and fix it.
You can fix that. But when it's, just some of the crazy stuff going on out there, it's
take a look at the New England game yesterday, Bo, okay? The Dolphins are down 11 points twice.
Yep.
Where you feel like they're about a play or two away from coming back and really threatening to make Tom Brady and the Patriots go down and score.
Yep.
To make them, if you get a 3-and-out after a score, right? If the Dolphins score before halftime, even if they kick a field goal, they're getting it in the second half.
Yep.
Okay, maybe they don't go 3-and-out.
Yep.
Or maybe they don't go backwards the next time they're within 11 with multiple sacks that flips the field for New England.
They
have chances in games. They're just not taking advantage of those opportunities.
End of the half, if you go in having just kicked that field goal, right?
Right.
After the intercept, kick the field goal. 21-13, you go in the locker room. You know you got the ball coming out. Your halftime is a lot different than what it was when you throw that ball in the end zone. It gets intercepted, and now you just, you had the chance. You had the chance to make the game closer, and all of a sudden, and now you're down, and then you get stopped for 3. And next thing you know, they're scoring at will. And,
enough dynamic plays being made. There are a lot of deflating plays that are being made, and it's not because there isn't guys out there busting it.
Yeah,
there's not a lack of effort. There's a lack of execution.
Yeah.
And there's a lack sometimes of communication, and there's a lack of just getting your job done. I don't think it's, you know, you look and you see effort. You watch and you feel good about the way the team competes.
Yeah.
And we see them, they compete at practice. They compete on Sundays. They're just not getting the results that equal the way they're preparing for the game.
Every coach I talked to prior to the game yesterday down on the sideline, they said, man, look, we had a great week of practice. We had a great week of practice from start to finish. All we need to do is carry it over on the field here. And, you know, and it just doesn't happen. And this was a game, John, that almost to me, on the fourth play of the game, that sealed the game. I mean, I know it's crazy to say because there's a lot of time left in that football game. But I think there was I think the message that was sent by England at that point.
We don't care.
We don't care. You know,
this can work or not work. If it and doesn't it's not going to affect us going forward.
Because
for
even
the whole
game. Even if you stop us and you go and score a touchdown, we're going to put many more touchdowns on the board. We're not worried about that. And I think that from a psychological standpoint, that's a demoralizing. First of all, it's demoralizing to have somebody. I don't care where.
Fake a punt that deep in your own end.
I don't care where you're on the field. I don't care when in the game it is. It's demoralizing when someone runs a fake punt and it works.
Yeah.
Or a fake field goal and it works. And so, but to do it that early in that situation in the game, which quite frankly, I've never seen before someone do that. You know, I was talking to somebody after the game, and they said, well, you know, they must have seen something in the Dolphins.
No, there was nothing out of the ordinary.
And I said, well, look, first of all, the reason I wouldn't think that is because usually if you see something from another team, a tendency, maybe it's on a kickoff return, where the guy that's supposed to contain just collapses the side of the field. You say, hey, we might be able to run a reverse on here. But you always run it first to see if that's true. In that game, you said, look, like in other words,
let's get a look.
Let's punt this ball first and see if this tendency holds true. And then the second time, we'll do it. Ain't even wait for the second time.
No.
It's here we are, boom, we're doing it. And really, quite frankly, at that point, and I know it's very far-fetched to say, I'm sitting there to myself going almost, that's game over.
Yeah.
Especially when they took the ball three plays
down.
Look
what happens. After that 14 yards, you get a Deion Lewis 13-yard run. You get a Brady to Philip Dorsett for 39. Yep. Lewis runs for 5, and then Burkhead goes in for the 2-yard touchdown.
4 plays, touchdown, like a hot knife through butter going down the field.
And you're thinking, if you're a Dolphin, hey, we just went 3 and out.
Yep.
We're going to get a chance to get the ball, maybe score first in this football game. That is deflating because I felt the same way watching the game. And maybe that's just the mindset the team needs to get out of.
Yeah.
You know, the whole mindset of not flinching when things like that happen. It's hard to do when you're fighting off losses week in and week out.
And look, it's one thing if the Denver Broncos do it to you.
Yeah.
It's one thing if the Cleveland Browns do it to you or Tampa.
Oakland.
You know, you go, yeah, look, you know, we can get this
back.
But when you know New England, when even the most minuscule of mistakes, you know, they take advantage of it, you know where you're at. You know where it puts you at.
Before we started today, I said to you, I thought New England gave the Dolphins so many opportunities, slight chances where they were weak with a bad snap, you know, on the shotgun snap.
The interception.
The interception. Just things that they don't necessarily do. They
jumped off sides a couple times.
They gave the Dolphins a couple holding calls. They gave the Dolphins opportunities to say, you know what, we can compete
we're
in this game.
Yeah,
we can take advantage of that. But I don't, you know, the Dolphins just haven't been good this season at taking advantage of opportunities other teams provide.
I think they would look at that tape today, New England, and say we didn't play a very good game out there.
Yeah.
And that's what you need. You need them to play that kind of game if you're going to go up there and win.
Well, if they're trying to compete against Pittsburgh or the Eagles or whoever else is hot know, throughout the league, the New Orleans Saints right now, you give those teams opportunities like
and
that.
Then they capitalize.
They're going to capitalize.
Yeah. All right, let's get through some of these questions. Periscope, Duke Dennis. Hey, Bo, we went from a long win streak last year to losing a little long losing streak this year. What happened? Well, I think we've been talking about it. I think this team is not as in sync as they were last year. I think after the first five games, this team started converting first downs, started moving the ball down the field. Defensively, they were forcing turnovers. They were coming away with the big plays and turnovers. Think about San Diego. Phillip Rivers, they threw 4 interceptions in the second half of the fourth quarter, I believe it was, in that football game. You know, that's what they were doing to win games
last year.
Kick returns.
Punt returns.
Big plays
to
Kenny Stills. All those things that they were doing.
Yeah.
And even with all that, Most of the games they won came down to the last
drive. 7 points or under.
Came to the last drive, whether you were going to score or you were going to stop them from scoring. Those games came down to that. And the Dolphins have had that situation this year. They had a situation happen against the Jets. They got to score. They had the same thing happen in L.A. against the Chargers. They got to score. So they've had it early on, and you felt, oh, here we go again. Still got that mojo where we're winning these tough games. And then all of a sudden the bottom fell out because you don't – if you can't get to the end of a game for it to be close – at the end of the game, then you don't have any chance. And that's I mean, look at the game. There was really, there was a couple times where you say if they would have scored, then it really would have given them a but they really never got that close to, you know, to making New England really kind of start shaking
their
boots.
They had
the
windows, though. They had the chances. Before halftime, if they get any type of points, you're going to feel like they've got momentum going to the third quarter. They're going to build on that. And if they score any type of points coming out of the locker room, this is a one-score game. You felt that way when it was 28-17. The Miami Dolphins get decent field position, but they can't follow it up with positive play. They had a couple of sacks, I think a couple of penalties.
Yep.
The ball goes back, and then you're out of whack again.
Yeah, it was but I think that's the difference. The difference from last year to this year is they're not making the plays that help you win football games. They're making the plays that keep you from winning football games, that allow you to lose football games. Black man game, what changes do we need to make in the offseason? Players, coaches, management? Well, I think that's kind of, you know, I wouldn't say right now, but I think, you know, if they don't win in Denver or so win against Denver and win against New England the following week on a Monday night down here, then I think that conversation begins in earnest where, you know, now the personnel guys start looking. Now you start doing your inventory of players. I think from an ownership standpoint, from an executive branch, they start looking at coaches. Then if you're the head coach, you start looking at your assistant coach. It all goes, believe me, nothing, no stone's going to go unturned with this football team or any football team that finishes the season out of the playoffs. I mean, you get a complete overhaul, or at least a complete review of the inventory of everything from start to finish.
It's a 180 from last year. Everything that you would check off last year after a 10-6 season, and you lose in the first round of the playoffs, you feel good about this. You go right down the list. Everything's a check. This year, when you match that, you have a lot of hesitation in checking certain boxes because ultimately, people are responsible for certain things or lack thereof on this team. So I think you have to ride this out. The most important thing is that you feel like when you talk to the players, you talk to the coaches, they're still concentrating on being 1-0 this week.
Yep.
They're trying to get a victory against the Denver Broncos at home, and then they're going to put that one away and try to beat the hell out of the New England Patriots on Monday night, get that one out of the way, and they're going to check them off one by one. Now, you're hoping that you get on a little bit of a roll with five left, and you're able to run, put a string together, so that the Buffalo games, you feel like those are going to be competitive and meaningful out in Kansas City and then back home for Buffalo, that they mean something. But it all starts with Denver.
Yeah.
Nothing can happen. You got to get rid of this five-game losing streak. You've got to get back on the winning trail. And it all starts in preparation for the players on Wednesday.
I think Cam Wake talked about it after the game, and I agree with him. Look, he said, my job is not to look at the big picture.
Yeah.
That's what you guys do.
Yeah.
You guys look at the big picture, where we stand, this or that. You can do that. My only job is to look at the next play, the next down, that
next
game,
practice.
And the next practice, and then get on to the next one and do the same thing the next week. And I agree with him. That's exactly what each and every one of these players and each and every one of these coaches should do right now. But for us, you know, it's hard not to step back and look at the whole because you're looking at the situation where now you've lost, seven games?
Yeah.
And you've got five games to go.
Right.
And you start putting the numbers together.
Get out of jail free cards.
Yeah, that's it.
This is it. You've got to win five in a row. We can say that. You've got to put a string together to get to 9-7 and then cross your fingers.
Yeah.
Because that means you've beaten New England once, you've beaten the Jets once,
and
you've beaten
Buffalo
twice. You've also taken down a conference foe in Kansas City. And then you have to start going back. What did Oakland do? You know, where are they at? What did Tennessee do?
Yeah.
Where are they at? Where did L.A., the Chargers do? Where are they at? You can have all those scenarios if you win all five.
Yeah.
But and worry about those problems. And those are good problems to have. But quite frankly, if you don't start stringing them together, you're worrying about next season.
Time is not your Time's not your teammate right now, so to speak. Koleska 80. Hey, Bo, why the hell is the secondary busting coverage? Is coaching too many open receivers? John, I don't claim to be an expert on secondary play, but you know,
it seems like we're keeping making the same mistake.
Same mistake. It seems like when they're in a zone, the receivers always find the soft spot in the zone, and that soft spot always seems to be 5 to 8 yards away from the closest defender. And I remember from my days playing linebacker when I was playing coverage linebacker, you know, guy runs through your zone. It's man coverage. Once a guy comes into your zone, you treat it like man coverage. You tighten up. You know, if he goes out of your zone, then you drop back. You know, you kind of, you know, get back to where you're supposed to be. But I just see guys – I'm with you. I see guys wide open and –
I think the biggest problem on defense, and especially in the linebackers or the back end of the defense, there's a lot of space.
Yep.
There's a lot of space for receivers not only to catch the football uncontested, but then take the ball and then turn upfield and make some yards after the catch. There's a couple of examples that we've seen where a wide receiver on the right side of the field will cross all the way to the left side of the field, and we won't either have a corner running with that wide receiver or we won't get a linebacker to get a hand on that guy to slow him down until if it's zone, if somebody's picking him up on the other side. But for me, it looks like the same corner or that side corner is making a mistake, not tagging that guy and making man coverage go across the field. So that could be one of the problems that has been reoccurring. The other thing that I see on the defensive side is that our linebackers are dropping to spots and the tight ends aren't staying in those spots. Those tight ends are running out routes or corner routes, and there's no one else there because you're clearing out with a wide out or another tight end clearing out where you've got too much space in that 5 to 12 yard area. So I think there's a couple reoccurring problems. One, with the corner not trailing all the way across the field, and two, our linebackers aren't attaching to back to tight ends when they're running through the zone and outside towards the sideline.
It is. It's just it's just frustrating. And look, I know it's you can see the coaches on the sideline. I mean, if you read them, they're like, well, what are you doing? I mean. Guys have to know what their jobs are, and they have to know how to execute their jobs. And look, granted, we got some young players out there playing. You got two very young corners out there playing. You know, right now you got Chase Allen, a guy, you know, undrafted rookie, standing and lining up in the middle for you. You got Devin Gotchaw playing
a lot.
You got Philip Vincent Taylor playing a lot. You know, so you got a lot of young guys out there. You got a lot of young guys out there that are going to take their lumps, and they're taking their lumps right now. And hey, look, part of me says, look, fine, take your lumps now to be better next year and the year after. We just hope that's the byproduct of what we're going through right now.
And you're hoping, Bo, not only that they get the experience this year and they're better pros in 2018, but you would like to see that improvement from week to week.
Yes.
You want to see that learning curve shorten drastically, because if you still see the same things on tape from 3 weeks ago and 2 weeks ago that you saw yesterday, that's a learning problem. That's an execution problem. Yeah. That's a mental bust that needs to be corrected, because those things tend to linger. They don't go away. And if you see them week to week to week, you've got to be able to fix that.
Yep. Dolphin Don from Periscope, you think any of the coaches or GM are on the hot seat? Look, like I said, the coaches are going to be evaluated by Adam Gase. Adam Gase is going to be evaluated by Mike Tannenbaum and by Stephen Ross and Chris Greer. Chris Greer is going to be evaluated by whoever is listed on the depth chart above him. Everyone's going to be evaluated.
Usually flows downhill.
It does flow downhill, no doubt about that. But I would say this. I would assume, John, that there may be some internal changes in the assistant coaching staff between this year and next year.
Well, you never know. You never know, because all that, if you get on a streak now and you go 5 weeks where you turn and you start playing more consistently, you have to evaluate. The coaches need to, you know, you self-evaluate, and then you get that downhill flow from the head coach to the assistant coaches all the way down. But right now, I think it's way too early to speculate and say, well, this guy's on the hot seat,
or
this position needs to be an upgrade. You can talk about the team as a whole. Yes, they're not winning. They're not a winning program right now. They're not a winning organization right now. So naturally, when you have those problems, you're going to have change. But to have massive change on a team that isn't a finished product yet, let's wait this thing out another 5 weeks and see where we are.
The other thing I was going to add to that is, I don't think by any stretch of the imagination Adam Gase is on the hot seat.
No,
I don't think so Adam Gase is. So the reason I say is, so from Adam, he may look at his coaching staff and say, I need to tweak this or change that or do this. I'm not happy with this guy or that guy. But that'll be his decision. But I don't think Chris Greer, I don't think Mike Tan, I don't think any of those guys are on
the worst thing in my opinion. Organizations is panic.
Yes,
you go come off a 10-6 season where you're changing culture, you're changing the way things happen, to change the way the mentality of your football team, the toughness of your football team is. And now all of a sudden you go through a tough string of 5 in a row. You're not as consistent as you were last year. Well, I think the worst thing an owner can do, the worst thing a head coach can do is panic.
Yeah.
You have to stay on the course. You have to keep the same message. You have to try to beat this message and instill it into your team that you are better than what your record says. You have to go out and work. And as long as you're seeing that on the practice field, I feel like that's why Adam is so confident in his group.
I know right now I bet you there's 1,000 people right now sending in comments. Get rid of everybody. Fire everybody. This team stinks. That coach stinks. That player stinks. Get rid of everybody. I know you guys are out there. I see it out there. But that's how this organization got to where they are right now. Because you never let anyone finish the job. You bring a coach in, and they bring Adam in. He's still trying to mold this team to his kind of guys, the guys that play the game the way he wants them to play the game. Are they all here? No. Is there less of them? Or they need less this year? Next year he does this year? Or next year? Does he need less next year than he needed this year? Yeah, probably so. But you can't let a guy start building the foundation, and then before he finishes it, tear that foundation down, give it to someone else, and let them start over again, because you take one step forward and you take three steps back. And that's kind of where this organization has been by changing coaches over and over and over again. Sometimes you got to live through the growing pains to see that that guy is the guy that can really put you on a track where you're going to be a capable team, a playoff team, a team that battles in the playoffs to move on year in and year out. But it can't be done in a year or two.
Right. And, just take a look at some of the bottom teams in the National Football League that have been there for 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
You look at the Cleveland Browns, you look at teams that have 2 wins, and you go, how can you be that poor for that long? At least the Miami Dolphins, they've made strides in terms of making changes in personnel, making changes at the head coaching staff and in the coaching staff to try to evolve and change that. So I think it's an unwritten 2017 season. Most of it is on paper, and what you see you don't really like and you want to get rid of. But I still think you have to ride out the last month of this season, the last 5 games, and see where this team ends up after 16 games.
No doubt about it. But, hey, look, like I said from the beginning, we're as frustrated as everybody out there. I know John's frustrated. I'm frustrated. Leon, he doesn't care. But everyone else in that back room is frustrated.
I saw Trey with the helmet on today.
Trey wants to put the helmet on, the pads on. He wants to go out there and play himself.
He wants
himself.
A shot.
Hell, I think Trey – let me ask you a question. Leon versus Trey, 40 yards.
Well, Trey's pretty young. Leon's pretty old.
Yeah, but Trey don't have much athletic ability either.
Oh, no, Trey's athletic. Oh,
he's got some skill?
Him.
He got some
skills? Yeah, he has skill.
On a basketball court?
No, I've seen him actually in kickball. No, but you can tell. But
kickball,
you can tell he has talent.
He's got skills.
You can tell he has talent,
All right. All right. Well, look, that's going to do it for this Monday. Better mood on Wednesday.
That's
even
right.
Even a better mood on Friday. And then a week from today, it's going to be a winning Monday.
Oh, man,
I can
that
feel
would be
it right
awesome.
Now.
I hope
John,
so,
I appreciate
That'd be
it, man.
Fun. Thanks, Bo.
John Kajami, I'm Kim Bocamper. We'll see you on Wednesday. That's going to do it for the Audible today.